Going God's way is something you do through the gospel of His grace. Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth explains.
You will never find the path to life through your own self-effort. You will only find it in Christ. But that means turning from your own way and embracing Christ and His way.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe. For June 23rd, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Hey, our theme this June is His Word is Wonderful, and you can read more about it at reviveourhearts.com/wonderful. Nancy's continuing in a series based on Psalm 119, and throughout the month, we're encouraging you to develop the habit of spending time reading your Bible every day. Nancy's been mentioning the 30-day Bible reading challenge, and she says the idea is that if you can commit to reading a passage of the scriptures every day for a month, you're well on your way to forming that as a habit.
I was just sitting here before this session started thinking, you know, I've said a couple times I want to encourage every listener to take this challenge, and I'm sure maybe some people that's just, you know, maybe not computing, or they're thinking somebody else will do that, or I was just sitting here thinking, why would somebody not take that challenge? I think we have that desire as children of God, but sometimes we just don't take the initiative, or we're not intentional about making that actually happen. Do you want to grow spiritually, or do you want to be the same place a year from now where you are today? Now, the fact is you won't be the same place a year from now that you are today in terms of your walk with the Lord. You'll either have grown and have moved forward in your relationship with Him, or you will have you'll be backslidden. It's spiritual life being what it is. We don't just coast. We don't just stay where we are. So would you like to deepen your relationship with the Lord? Would you like to have more of His wisdom, more of His grace, more of His power, more of His presence in your life? Okay, if you're saying no, then I'm saying, do you really know the Lord? And if you're saying yes, then I'm saying, please set your heart to take this daily Bible reading challenge. Now, if you take that challenge, and the challenge is simply this, by God's grace, I'm purposing to read my Bible every day. I'm not saying how much or how long, but just that every day you'll get some time in God's Word. And I think as you start doing that, that you'll find that your appetite, your hunger grows. You want more of God's Word, not less. If you do choose to take that challenge, I'd encourage you to let us know that you're doing that. And if you let us know that you're taking that challenge, we'll be glad to send you an email of encouragement just to remind you and help you keep pressing on, because I know how easily I get distracted, how easily I forget my best intentions. So it helps to have some accountability and some reminders, and we're going to help you with that by sending you email reminders. Also on the website, you'll find other resources that will be helpful, articles, helps, links, audio, video, reading programs if you need a track to run on. We have lots of resources available. For most of us, it's not that we can't get the resources. It's just that we need to take the step to say, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to grow spiritually. Now, speaking of choices that make a difference, you undoubtedly remember in school reading or studying the poem by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken. And that poem came to mind as I was working on today's session. Remember the opening stanza of that poem talks about two roads that diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other. And then you remember the last stanza of that poem. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I want to talk today about two roads, one of which most people choose. The other is the road that is less traveled by, and if you will take that road, it will make all the difference in your life. Let me take us back for our consideration to Psalm 119. And we're not going verse by verse through Psalm 119. We're just looking at themes. And you may wonder, how do I develop these themes? How do I decide what themes to pick out of a passage like Psalm 119 that has 176 verses? How do you choose what to teach? Well, here's a little hint for your own Bible study. I've been reading Psalm 119 over and over and over and over again for the past several weeks. I'm encouraging you to do that during the course of this study because you can get, you'll see things in God's Word that I haven't seen as the Holy Spirit tutors you. But one of the things I noticed was that the word way, W-A-Y, or ways, or paths, appears many times in Psalm 119. Now, that stood out to me from multiple readings. And so I asked myself, why does it keep talking about ways? And I came up with a list, and I just went to BibleGateway.com. I put in the word way and Psalm 119, and I listed out all the verses in Psalm 119 that have this word way or ways. And then I started pondering them. And they fell into three categories, and that's what I want to talk about, those different uses of the word way, because as you consider this, this is meditating on God's Word, it brings insights that you might not have seen just by a casual reading. Now, in Psalm 119, we're going to see that there are two contrasting ways, two contrasting paths that people can take, that people do take, and we're faced with a choice. The choice we make makes all the difference. One road, one path, one way leads to life. The other way leads to death. There is no middle path. There's no middle way. We will either follow one path or we will follow the other path. And I want to start by looking at God's ways, which figure prominently in Psalm 119. As we look at Psalm 119, there are multiple references to God's ways. And that's always the best place to start, God's way. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 119, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, verse 3, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. His ways. Now this word way, as it's used in verse 1 and verse 3, it just means a road, a path, a journey. The idea is of a well-worn path or road, and symbolic of the course of a person's life, the trajectory of a life, the direction of your life, the lifestyle, the way that you live, the way that you conduct yourself is your way of life. Your way of life has to do with the way that you think, the way that you conduct yourself. It's a path. Well, God has a way. He has a way that He conducts Himself. He has a way that He lives, that He functions, His character. His way is faithful. It never changes. He's true to Himself forever and ever. And so we start in this psalm by looking at the ways of God. And we'll see in this psalm that the writer of the psalm loves God's way. And he's determined to follow it and to embrace it. There's no doubt as you read this psalm that he loves God's way. Listen to these verses. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness, the way of truth, as some of your translations say. Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. So the psalmist says, God has a way. I love God's way. I want to follow God's way. I want to live my life according to God's way. That's the heartbeat of this psalm. Now, also in this psalm, we see another way. And it's referred to repeatedly as false or deceitful ways. Depending on your translation, some say false ways, some say deceitful ways. And the psalmist talks about these false ways, and you can tell, and I'll read you a few verses here, that the psalmist hates these false ways. He is determined to reject that course, that path, that way. He's determined to avoid getting onto that path. And it's interesting that every time he talks about false or deceitful ways, those ways are always contrasted to God's ways, which are true. So these ways are polar opposite. God's ways, which the psalmist loves, are true. These false ways, which he abhors and wants to stay away from, those ways are false or deceitful. And you see these two in multiple verses. Verse 29, for example, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I don't want this false way. I want the true way. That false way, the New International says they're deceitful ways. That word for false ways means something that's an untruth. It's a sham. It's a way of life which goes completely contrary to God's law. So God's way is the way of truth. The false ways are the opposite ways, the ways that are contrary to God's truth. Look at verse 101. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. See the two ways contrasted there? Same thing in verse 104. Through your precepts, that's God's way, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That's the opposite way. Verse 128, same thing here. I consider all your precepts to be right. God's way, he says, is right. I hate every false way. You see these two different ways? One is true, one is false. So we have God's way, which is the way of truth, the way the psalmist wants to follow, and we have the false, deceitful ways which the psalmist hates and is determined to avoid. Now, earlier I said that the word way, when you trace it through Psalm 119, is used in three different categories. I said there were two paths. What's the third category? It speaks of God's ways. We've looked at that. It speaks of false or deceitful ways. We've looked at that. And then there are references to my ways. My ways. And the question is, are we following in his way or in the false, evil ways? We will follow in one or the other. Our ways will be following God's way, his course, his path, his trajectory, or our ways will be following the evil, deceitful ways. No middle ground. We're following at any given point of our lives God's ways or false, deceitful ways. And so he talks about my ways, and he desires that his way would follow in God's way. Verse 5, for example, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. He says, I want my way to be your way. I want your way to be my way. Verse 9, how can a man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. It's God's word that sets us into living God's way. Verse 26, when I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. When I told of my ways, that's an interesting phrase. The New International says there, I recounted my ways. The New King James says, I have declared my ways. I think this speaks of an honest heart before God. You know, people around us may not know which way we're really pursuing, but God knows. And he wants us to confess to him the truth about our ways. Where we have been following false, deceitful ways, he wants us to be honest about that, to tell him. That's what confess means, to say what God knows is true about my heart. That's confession. So have you recently told God of your ways? Have you been honest with God about where your ways are not following his way, where you're following false, deceitful ways? Think about that relational conflict that you're in right now. And do you need to confess to God that you have become bitter in your heart toward that family member who's wronged you or maligned you or hurt you in some way? Are there other ways that you're believing lies, that you're following in ways that are not true? Tell God your ways and then ask him to teach you his ways. Be honest with God. That's where, you know, so many of us are, we're living a sham. We're pretending. We're going through the Christian life, pretending like, oh, we're just good Christians. But inside, our ways are not consistent with God's ways. And I love that phrase. The psalmist says, I told of my ways. It's telling God the truth about our ways. And then verse 59, when I think on my ways, maybe that's what we need to do first, is think on our ways. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Isn't that a description of repentance? I think about my ways. Stop just coasting through life, living mindlessly, heedlessly, thoughtlessly, and begin to live an intentional life, thinking about your ways, telling God what your ways really are, getting honest with him, getting honest with others of God's people. And then when you think on your ways, if you see that your ways are not consistent with his ways, then turn your feet to follow his way. That's repentance. Turning around, going the other direction. See, this, the psalmist is living an examined life. He's not just la-di-da-da-da-da-da. We just, you know, wake up, go to work, come home, you know, just so many people who are listening to the sound of my voice right now are going to walk that way. And a year from now, you're going to be sitting 1 year older, 1 year more immersed in those lies, one year just more on your own way, and looking back with regret, some with shame, some with just like I wasted the year. You don't have to waste this year. And I guess I'm kind of earnest about this because I'm really preaching it to myself. And I drift in so many ways. You don't hear that when you listen to Revive Our Hearts. You hear me at my most passionate, but you don't live with me. And I'm thinking about my ways as I'm working on this, as I've been studying this passage. And I'm telling God my ways. And I'm asking him to help me turn my heart and my feet toward his ways. I want to live an intentional, examined life that says, I'm not just going to drift this year. By God's grace, I want to follow his ways. He says in verse 168, I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. The fact is, whether you think about your ways or not, whether you tell God your ways or not, he knows your ways. He knows where you're drifting. He knows where you've believed lies, where you've bought into the lie. He knows where you're toying with sin. He knows where you've given into full-fledged addiction to sin. He knows your ways. All my ways are before him. I can't tell you how many emails we get from listeners who are church members, who they or family members or friends are engaged in devious, false, deceitful ways. We got an email this week from a young woman. My heart goes out to her, but she says, I've had a child by this man. I'm living with him. I know we need to get married, but I can't bring myself to do it. It's a bigger circumstance than what I can tell. But she says, every time I start thinking about God, I know that I need to take this step, but I haven't done it. See, she's got a battle going on. But the fact is, God knows her ways. You may be in church, people may think your ways are doing great, but all your ways are before God. He knows. Think about your ways. Tell God your ways, and then turn your feet toward his way. He says in verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments. That word path there, it's different than the word way. Although the meaning is similar, that word path is from a root verb that means to tread on a road. It's a beaten down track or path. It's not a new path. It's been trodden down by previous travelers or pilgrims who've gone that way before. And it's a reminder that we are not alone in this journey. There are other pilgrims who've pursued God before us. They've made a path. They've left footprints for us to walk in. And we are part of forging a path that others will come behind and follow. Is my life beating out a path that will encourage those who come behind me to follow God's ways? Jesus talked about these two ways in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Just another reminder, as we've seen from Psalm 119, that there are only two ways. There's God's way, it's the way of truth, and there's the way of sinners, the false, deceitful way. These two ways of life are polar opposites. They have vastly different outcomes for those who walk in them. The way to life, remember this, is not the popular way. You'll never find the multitudes going on the way to life. It's not an easy way. It's hard. Jesus said it would be hard. You have to swim upstream, to mix my metaphors there. You have to go against the flow. It's narrow. Not many find that way because they prefer their own way, the easy way. They prefer the way of falsehood and deceit rather than having to bow to God's truth. They don't want to relinquish their own way. They don't want to trust Christ. And so remember that ultimately Jesus is the way. God's way is his way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what an important reminder that is, that you will never find the path to life through your own self-effort, your own thoughts, your own best intentions. You will only find it in Christ. But that means turning from your own way, your own false, deceitful ways, and embracing Christ and His way. In fact, in the early church, Christianity came to be known as what? The way. That term is often used in the book of Acts to refer to the system of Christianity. Remember in Acts 16, the demon-possessed girl says she followed Paul, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." God's way is the way of salvation. It will always be opposed by Satan. It's not the easy way. It's the way of faith in Christ, of relinquishing your own efforts and following Him. So as you think about your ways, can you be honest? Are you walking in His way, or are you walking in false, deceitful ways? The path that you choose will determine everything about your life, your attitudes, your values, your priorities, the way you handle money, the way you treat people, the way you use your free time, the decisions you make. And that's why the psalmist says, "I will fix my eyes on your ways. I have chosen the way of faithfulness." And oh, Father, how I pray that today you would cause many, many listeners to agree with the psalmist. Say, "I will fix my eyes on your ways." Perhaps you'd like to just make that your prayer right now. And from your heart, say, "Oh, Lord, I will fix my eyes on your ways. And I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Oh, Lord, I choose Christ. I choose truth. I choose you. I choose your way." And oh, if I could just encourage you that as you choose Christ and His way, you are choosing the way of life, the way of joy, the way of peace, the abundant way of life that Jesus came to give you. Thank you, Lord. Your ways are good and true. And with all our hearts, we say, we choose your way. Amen.
Amen. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been helping us consider which way, which path we're on. She's looking at some of the themes in Psalm 119. You know, Nancy, you've also been challenging us to live more purposefully, and you're issuing a Bible reading challenge. You're encouraging every listener.
That's right, every listener.
To make a commitment to read God's Word every day for 30 days. Your hope is that a month is enough to establish that daily Bible reading habit and will continue beyond the 30 days.
And I really believe that that simple commitment will be radically life-changing and transformational for anyone who will take it, starting with myself. That's the commitment of my heart, to get God's Word into my heart, into my mind.
Okay, now we know it's easy to make commitments, but it's also easy to forget our commitments and not follow through. So to help you keep your commitment every day for those 30 days, the team at Revive Our Hearts will send you an email reminder. That email includes a passage of scripture to meditate on, a short devotional rooted in God's Word, a specific challenge to apply biblical principles to your own life, a recommended resource chosen by the Revive Our Hearts staff, and a set of reflection questions to help you dig deeper.
You can sign up for the challenge and to receive those emails at reviveourhearts.com. And when you're there, you'll find a whole lot of resources to help you keep this challenge, like Bible reading plans. Depending on how fast you want to read, how much you want to read, what approach you want to take, there are lots of tracks that you can run on to help you with your Bible reading.
Look for those links in the transcript of this program at reviveourhearts.com. And let me remind you about two of those resources available for a donation of any size. One is your poem, Nancy, on the Word. It's beautifully designed and beautifully worded. The other is Colin Smith's helpful book, Fly Through the Bible. It provides a great bird's eye view of your Bible, which is critical for understanding how things fit together.
We'll send you these two resources when you support Revive Our Hearts this week. And your gift will allow us to continue bringing Revive Our Hearts to you and to thousands of others each weekday.
To contact us with your gift and to request Fly Through the Bible and Nancy's poem, go to reviveourhearts.com/wonderful. Or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959.
Your gift this month and your continued partnership with this ministry will help us keep the current level of ministry going strong and will also prepare the ministry for what we believe is significant growth in the days ahead.
So again, visit reviveourhearts.com/wonderful or call 1-800-569-5959. Well, Psalm 119 mentions the importance of keeping God's word. In fact, it mentions it 29 times. Nancy says that means we need to pay attention.
You think if God says it 29 times in one chapter, that we need to keep his word, obey his word? Makes me wonder, how many things do I know about God's word that I'm not doing?
Hear more tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.